The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Groundhog Day and happy Thursday. We've got a lot to talk about in the rest of this show. I'm very excited for our next guest. You're all familiar with him. He's a friend of the show, Eddie Scarry. He's a columnist at The Federalist, and he's the author of the book Liberal Misery, How the Hateful Left Sucks Joy Out of Everything and Everyone. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Grace, I'm so happy to be back, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Eddie, the reason I love this piece, and for people who aren't reading it, I just tweeted it out so you can check it out. It's called The Media Are Irredeemable. It's Far Too Late for a Reckoning. And you're talking about the situation with former New York Times journalist Jeff Gerth. So before we get into your take on it, give people a little rundown of what Jeff Gerth has decided to talk about over the last couple weeks.
Right. So this was a piece that I wrote based on what the former New York Times journalist wrote for Columbia Journalism Review. For your viewers who, or for your listeners who don't know what that is, that's basically kind of a version of a Bible for the media industry, for journalists, especially political journalists. That's, we look to that to, you know, for news and in-depth analysis such that it is about the news business. So this particular piece that this former New York Times journalist wrote, I believe he's also a Pulitzer Prize winner, was meant to reflect on everything that went on during the Trump years as far as the Trump-Russia conspiracy saga went. All of the news coverage of that, the analysis of that, where it started, how it developed, the evolution, all of it. And really, it builds itself as some kind of reckoning, some kind of attempt at accountability for the media industry that spent years with an S, plural, years, beating this lie into the American public consciousness that Trump was a really scary lie, if you think about it. Because I remember at the time when this first came out, the idea that first a major presidential candidate and then actual sitting president was an asset of a foreign adversary, one of our top two foreign adversaries, and thinking how scary that was. And that was, again, beat into the public conscious for years and years. And so now you have this prestigious, I guess if you want to call him that, prestigious journalist, longtime veteran journalist, taking the media in some sense to task and asking them, well, why did you go along with this? We found out it was a lie. But people like you and I, and I'm sure so much of your audience, knew that this was a lie. If not at the very beginning, it became very evident that this was a lie. And now we're supposed to look back and say, oh, well, thank God someone is finally saying, someone of influence within the media, someone of prestige is finally acknowledging what we've been saying. Well, no, I mean, it's a little bit far too late for that.
Yeah, no, you know what, Eddie, the word just came to my mind. It's condescending, you know, that like, oh, no, we need this beacon of truth to finally confirm what we've been thinking and conspirizing about. It's like, no, we got it. We understood. And what I love about your piece, because I say this a lot whenever someone like Bill Maher or, you know, a left-wing person comes out with one rational thought or says one thing that's true, there's this rush by people, a lot of conservatives on Twitter and on social media, to praise them or to say, you know, oh, wow, look at this hot take by this liberal. And you're saying, don't fall for it. Like, this is a bunch of junk. Who cares? Do not give Jeff Gerth or Bob Woodward a standing ovation for stating what so many journalists have been stating since the very beginning.
Oh, yes, 100%. I'm so glad you're touching on that, because what really irked me, and to the point where I actually wanted to write about this, it wasn't really a story idea of mine to even respond to it, until I saw that someone who I otherwise do find to be an interesting and intelligent person, Glenn Greenwald, tweeting about it and calling this like this damning indictment of the press and I think Matt Taibbi, also another person who's pretty sound and offered and not crazy in the media, saying how this is something that needs to be picked up by every news outlet, and if it's not, then that's just further proof of the premise. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, give me a break. Bob Woodward, this former New York Times journalist, what, 5-6 years after the fact, when it's too late to do anything, the president was kicked out of office. His entire political agenda that he was elected to enact, crippled, absolutely crippled. And yet we're supposed to now give thanks and pay homage because someone of repute within the media finally acknowledged it. No, I think Bob Woodward, Jeff Gerth, and the rest of them, when it's too late to do anything about it, it doesn't matter. The war is lost. And it means nothing. It's of absolutely no consequence.
The other part of this, and I want to get into what Gerth wrote about Trump, but before we do, what I appreciate is we're talking now about how the premise that people want to put out there is that it was a mistake. And that's the reason we need this introspection, is because this was a mistake and, you know, mistakes were made, as Bill Clinton would say. And what you're saying is this wasn't a mistake. This was evil. This was, you know, nefarious. People knew what they were doing. And part of the reason you know they knew what they were doing is because they're still doing it now. So this whole idea of like, oopsies, we're sorry, doesn't even hold up because they were doing it on purpose.
Exactly. This is not accountability, because this was not, as you say, a mistake. This was an operation. And I, at the end of my piece, I note how there was no apology, no quote unquote reckoning with what happened. No, the subject was changed. It was changed to, well, maybe there wasn't technical collusion, but there were attempts at collusion. We saw that they wanted to take help from Russia. And then what happened after that? Then we have hyping up the Black Lives Matter rioting, hyping up the unarmed shooting of black men, which does not exist in this country. That is so infinitesimally small of a number of incidents that happened. It is not a real thing. And of course, I think perhaps even worse, in my lifetime, I've never seen anything worse than what the media did with COVID, blaming every single death, every single new case of a freak new virus on one man, laying it on the shoulders of one man, the president of the United States, an easily, like an impossible to stop virus so far as all the evidence shows. And what do? They hyped that up. And this was all to get this guy out of office and to discredit the movement that put him in office. All the things he stood for, all the people who believed in the things that Trump said throughout the 2016 campaign, they decided they want to throw in with this complete wild card of a candidate because they wanted something different. Well, we see now how Washington, in concert with the national media, in concert with the permanent Washington bureaucracy, how it responds to these things. And they're still doing it, just like you said. I mean, we're still talking about Trump and how he needs to be prosecuted. And the media gleefully report on that. They are so eager to see this man thrown in jail. And you know, any idea again that this was, oh well, the media were had, they fell for it. No, they didn't fall for it. They perpetuated it.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Eddie Scarry from The Federalist, and you can always follow him on Twitter at @escarry and read all his work at thefederalist.com. Plus, you can buy his book, Liberal Misery: How the Hateful Left Sucks Joy Out of Everything and Everyone. It's a great read. Eddie, another part of this I want to discuss, you know, Jeff Gerth is obviously the author here, former New York Times columnist, and you mention that throughout this, even when he's, you know, walking this road of introspection and reflection and, you know, trying to figure out what went wrong, he still offers the media cover and tries to blame Trump for why Trump was, you know, colluded against by the entire media. Walk people through what his excuse is for the press.
Yeah, that was a line that was early in Jeff Gerst's very, very tedious and long piece. But it was something about how Trump kind of, something to the effect of Trump did himself no favors because he often spoke off the cuff about Russia and made it seem like there was something there. Like I think another way that the media throughout the Trump years, put it was kind of saying, for someone who's not guilty, he acts really guilty. I think that kind of the same sentiment. Well, that would be a very convenient excuse for the years, 2+ years of headlines and cable news graphics that say the walls are closing in, we're at a turning point, the noose is tightening in the Russia saga. We were led all along, months and months and months, years, to believe that this was eventually, we were going to eventually reach the conclusion that, yes, Trump was in bed with Russia in one way or another. We never got there. None of anything ever along the way. The headline, if you read the stories, I don't know about you, but I remember reading some of the early stories in the New York Times, and the sourcing was always the suspect part to me. It was always according to notes that were read to a New York Times reporter by someone who had the notes. And I remember asking, I'm not going to say who it was, but a very prominent New York Times reporter who I asked at the time, I said, okay, so wait, do you guys have the notes? And it was like, no, we don't have notes, but someone who has the notes told us. And I thought, how in the world did you make a news story based off of that? So no, again, this is all just a complete, we used to think of the, people on our side, we used to think there's this huge liberal bias. Well, there's not a liberal bias in the media. This is lying. It's dishonest. It's malicious. And really, it's evil.
Eddie Scarry, this is a great piece. And just so people know, it goes on to talk about how there's still plenty of people in the media who have not given this up. They're dead enders. I mean, I was watching Joe Scarborough the other day, a clip on Twitter. I wasn't just watching his show, but he was still talking about this. Like, well, yeah, maybe they didn't find collusion technically, but if you read the second half of the Mueller report, so there's still plenty of people who buy in and perpetuate this lie. It's a really great piece, Eddie, and we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks, Grace.
Make sure you follow Eddie at @escarry on Twitter and buy his book, read his columns. They're all excellent. What are your New Year's resolutions? Is one of them to finally sell that piece of real estate that you've been hanging on to? Well, resolve to take control in 2023. There's a lot of ways you can take control with JJ Manning Auctioneers. You can sell on your terms with no contingencies for financing, for inspections, or for appraisals. You can take control with one busy auction open house instead of random showings. Those can really exhaust you. You get the house ready to go, and then randomly someone says, oh, they're going to, you know, they want to come by at 3:00, and you got to tidy up the house again. It's the worst part of trying to sell a piece of property. And you can also take control by selling to cash-ready buyers who are not hostages to rising interest rates. Take control with an as-is sale. There's no need to sink more money into the house before you sell it. Even a property with a failed septic, no Title V required. Best of all, you can take control with a 30-day closing on your property. It's easy as that. In a JJ Manning auction, there's no distress. You set the terms, you sell contingency free, and the buyer pays the commission. In an uncertain real estate market, take control with JJ Manning. To learn more how to get your property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com. They sell all different kinds of property, multifamily, commercial, land. So don't wait for prices to head lower. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Throughout New England, Howie and Grace listeners have taken control and sold with JJ Manning. Take control this year. We will be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley lives her life by a strict set of rules.
Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Before we do the poll question, which you can vote at gracecurleyshow.com, it's still pretty close. People get real heated about the groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil. It's always a day filled with debate. I mean, it was one of the first things I learned about Jared when he started producing my show is that he does not like, and I want to get this right because I don't want to tick him off. It's not that he doesn't like groundhogs. He doesn't like the exploitation of groundhogs on Groundhog Day. Yep, he just gave me the thumbs up. See, after listening to you say it for 2 years in a row, I finally got it down pat. Let's go to Dave, though, who wants to talk about the media. We just had on Eddie Scary. Some harsh words for Bob Woodward and Jeff Gerth. I do not stand by all his words. They were very harsh. But he does make a really good point about Russia collusion and how these media, you know, these media heroes do not deserve to be applauded for their sudden realization that they were wrong. Dave, you're up next. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Grace, I just want to call up and say it has to do with, it kind of goes to the narrative that Tucker Carlson was working on and illegal immigration. And every time I see anybody on the TV anywhere, all I hear them, the right comment is they say, well, last month another 200,000 illegal immigrants crossed into the United States. What they should be saying is last month another 200,000 unregistered Democratic voters crossed into the United States. And we need to get on this and we need to start hammering them with the narrative and get our point across. If you want an example of how good this works, look at the Don't Say Gay bill and where that went with no basis at all. Lately, I see a lot more Republicans commenting that only Americans should be able to vote. You see it, Jim Jordan saying it, Matt Gaetz is saying it. So you know what that means? It's the left, and that's what they're planning. What they're planning to do is grant illegal immigrants the right to vote, not nationwide, but obviously in states because states have the control over it. So what's going to happen is you're going to see Joe Manchin in 2024 is going to have an issue because he's going to be on the line and his seat's going to be up for grabs.
Yeah, and you're already seeing it in New York. In New York, they want illegal aliens to be able to vote in certain state elections, local elections. And you are right about the media and the way they craft a narrative and how they are very good at it. And when I say the media, I do mean the left as well. You know, they're all under the same tent. But you're right. The Don't Say Gay bill was a perfect example. There was nothing in that bill that said people couldn't say the word gay. And yet the media and the Democrats called it that and it took off like wildfire. But then you have people who call up and say to me, you got to stop saying the mainstream media. I understand everyone's point. But I just think we need to win elections, and I don't know how much changing like my exact verbiage on things is going to make the difference. But maybe Dave has a point. Maybe it is about really pushing our own narrative. I know that certain networks, and it becomes harder. Like, for example, right now with Newsmax taking off DirecTV, which is, I believe, owned by AT&T. It becomes harder when you're censored and when you're not allowed to voice your opinion. But I think a lot of these Republicans, they do a pretty good job of making their stances clear. And when they go on these shows with Chuck Todd or with Margaret Brennan or with, you know, Joy Reid, they make a good case. You know, you can see the left melting down when they're pressed on the facts. And it happens quite a bit with Republicans. So I get your point. And I know what you're saying about voting and illegal immigration and the mainstream media, but I don't know. I don't know what more Republicans can do. I think they do a pretty good job of, you know, pushing our narrative and trying to combat the fake news. I don't know how much more they could do. 844-500-4242. I guess there's always room for improvement, though. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $179.99 a night. Or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. Matt is on the board. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe the groundhog's prediction of 6 more weeks of winter will be right? Yes or no?
Yes, I do. But it's not because I believe the groundhog. Because the groundhog, according to what I read today in the New York Post, the groundhog on average, Phil, Punxsutawney Phil, has been right 40% of the time over the past 10 years. That is a sucky average. So it's not because of Phil. It's just because we live in New England and there's always 6 more weeks of winter. There's probably going to be 10, 12, 14 more weeks of winter. So yeah, I think he will be right.
Listeners say no with 51%.
Wow! We haven't had a close one like this in a while. Go to gracecurlyshow.com to break this tie. When we come back, woke or joke, get on the line now.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
The number is 844-500-4242, and you are listening to The Grace Curley Show. It is Thursday at 1:30, so you know what that means. It is time for everyone's favorite segment, Woke or Joke.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Ha ha ha. Pink haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
But the joke was on me. Oh no.
Woke or Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. A gift card to Aviva Trattoria is the perfect gift for any occasion. So pick one up at any of their 5 locations. I've been to so many of these locations. I think I'm at maybe 3 out of 5. And you definitely want to check these out. The food is to die for. I would suggest the chicken parm, but everything on their menu is incredible. So to find the one nearest you, go to AvivaTrattoria.com. We still have some lines open, 844-500-4242. And if you win Woke or Joke, then you could be entered to win a $50 gift card to Aviva Trattoria. Now, here's how it works. Typically, we've got Taylor Cormier in the studio. Today, we are joined by Jared Diglio, my producer.
Happy to be here.
And he's going to read you a headline. You have to decide, is it woke, as in this is real life, this is where we're at, this is what's happening, or is it a joke? Did someone here make it up out of whole cloth? Is Emma making these now?
It's a combination. Emma has been doing the heavy lifting the past couple weeks.
So it's probably going to be a headline written up by Emma Foley. You can read her real headlines at gracecurlyshow.com, but she might throw in a couple fake ones at you. All right, so now we got full lines. Are you ready, Jared?
I am ready.
Let's start today with Mike. Mike, you are first up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, Mike, here is your headline. Can board games teach us about the climate crisis? Game creators say yes.
I'm going to say it's a joke.
I am so sorry. That is woke.
Oh, first one out of the gates. We got you, Mike. I'm so sorry to tell you. You are a big time loser today. All right. So that's interesting. Board games.
Yes.
Could be hurting.
Yes, because this is according to The Guardian. Board games might be the best learning device to think creatively about impeding climate disaster. So it's not really they're bad for the crisis, but people are gathering around board games and talking about climate. And this even talks about a Dungeons and Dragons club that's making climate conscious and kind of climate catastrophe fantasy worlds.
You know what my next question is going to be?
I never played Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. I'm not a big fantasy stuff guy. Never played D&D. No shade to anybody who does.
No, of course
not. But just was not my thing.
If we have any D&D, is that what it's called, D&D?
D&D.
D&D listeners out there, you are welcome here. It is a safe space, and we support you. Board game-wise, you know, I like to play a board game when I'm at the Fallen's Bee Inn. I do enjoy that.
They have a place. They're good.
Yeah, they have a time and a place, for sure.
Game nights are always fun, actually.
I will say that Monopoly... And my family, it had to go. I mean, it was like Christmas time. We'd play Monopoly, just my siblings, and it would really turn into, you know what it looked like? It looked like what the members of Congress are doing right now on the House floor. We would just throw temper tantrums. We'd be like, wait a second, you're cheating. And then when you got tired and you'd say, you know, you'd look at one of your siblings and say, here, you can just have all my money. And then my brother would be like, that's not how it works. It goes back to the bank.
The utility company cannot have Jewish space lasers.
It is chaos. It's chaos. All right, let's go to
MTG. That came up today.
Yes, yes, it did. We're going to play some of the sound from Congress today because the squad is really...
They are angry, hangry, even, if you will.
If I had to choose between Ron Klain's blubbering and Rashida Tlaib, screaming and stomping her feet...
All the time.
I don't know. I'm going Ron Klain.
I mean, Ron was embarrassing, but at least that was from his heart, and he had an honest...
There's something soothing about it.
Yeah. Rashida Tlaib was just...
They're very, very upset. I don't, and they keep bringing it back to Marjorie Taylor Greene,
yeah,
because she was booted off a House committee, and they're saying it's not the same thing, and Ilhan Omar's being attacked for being a woman of color. And I just have to say, I do not remember any Republicans throwing these kind of hissy fits when we were kicked off committees.
That's a fair point. I
happened.
Can't think of one.
I don't remember Kevin McCarthy. It looks like Jerry Springer. AOC is screaming. And people are like egging her on, and she's screaming at people. It's really crazy stuff.
She was
stuff.
Doing like an interpretive dance, serve you on the street breakdance type of thing.
It was too much for me. We're not going to play too much of it. I don't want to drive people crazy. All right, let's go to Leslie. You're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Leslie?
Yes, Grace. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, Leslie, here is your headline. It's time to move Black History celebrations to a month with more than 28 days.
That's a joke.
That is a joke. Congratulations.
Very good, Leslie. She was very, very strong on that answer. No hesitation. I will say I was thinking about February today. It's February 2nd. For those of you who don't know, it's Groundhog Day. Jared likes to celebrate privately, so we're not going to talk about it on the air. I was thinking, though, out of all the months, February might be my least favorite. I don't like to say the word. Because you have to go February, if you want to say it like Taylor does and really pronounce it correctly.
February.
Yeah. And also, it's especially here in New England, it's like the worst month.
It's dark, short. It's cold. Sometimes there's 28 days. Sometimes there's 29 days.
It's miserable.
You don't know what it's about.
And the holiday is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And it's like the most commercial holiday going. So I'm not team February either. Let's go to Ron. You are next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Ron?
I'm ready.
All right, Ron, here is your headline. Explaining the Arctic freeze to the climate deniers next door.
That's woke.
Ah, I'm so sorry. That is a joke. It's a joke, Ron.
Sorry, Ron. Sorry about that. I do have a headline today. I don't think you're going to use it. This is from The Hill, and it says, society isn't changing fast enough to stop climate change. And right when I read that, I thought... Society. It's like when people say we and you go, who's we? I mean,
the royal we.
Yeah, it's because I'm reading all these things. It says private jet emissions sky high at Davos. People who attend Davos like private jets. Eco warrior Prince Harry flies private jet home from polo match. Bill Gates's $70 million Gulfstream jet at Sydney's Kingsford Smith on Australia visit. Is that we? Because I'm not part of that we. I'd like to be part of that we.
Hashtag we are all Harry.
Yeah, I'd like to be part of this group, but I'm not. So don't lump me into someone who's not changing fast enough. I don't know what I can change. I read, and I don't know if it's a true stat, Jared, but I read. You know what? Actually, I won't say it then because I don't know if it's a true stat. So I'll wait. Maybe
very fake news.
I will check it out on Snopes, see if it's true. And if it is true, I'll read it when we come back. All right, let's go to, we got two Eds on the line. So Matt, dealer's choice. Let's go to Ed. You are next up. Are you ready for your headline, Ed?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Ed, here is your headline. Race is not a risk factor for disrupted sleep, but racism is.
I'm going to go with woke.
That is woke. Good call, Ed.
Okay,
so... comes to us from a panel of experts at the Sleep 2022 conference.
There's too many conferences. There's
yes.
too many think tanks, and there's too many conferences, and we need common sense think tanks slash conferences slash open letter control, because it's just too much, Jared. There's no need for this.
Yes, during the session entitled Understanding the Role of Structural Racism and Discrimination in Sleep Disparities, panel laid forth the historical context of racism that has led to disrupted sleep of Black Americans, as well as the gaps in current bodies of evidence that need to be filled, including the need for more research on how racial discrimination impacts sleep and the intersectionality of identities regarding sleep.
I just, you know what that
was? I have
was?
No, every noun, verb, and adverb and adjective in that sentence befuddles me.
That was Charlie Brown to me. Wah, 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 wah. I will say this, though. I heard Jane Fonda the other day saying everything goes back to climate change.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you break down an issue, no matter what it is, you can say, oh, well, that's because of climate change or that's because of racism. Do you think, like, it's almost like what came first, the chicken or the egg? What issue, all roads lead to what? Did all roads lead to climate change or do all roads lead to racism?
Oh, I would think all roads lead to racism.
Racism, racism.
It's anything you want it to be. Racism is COVID is the new racism, or racism is the new COVID.
Yeah.
It's anything you want it to be.
I don't disagree.
Free for all out there.
844-500-4242. Let's go to, you know what they should be looking at for the sleep conference? They should be looking at like temperature in the room. I want to know what's the best temperature. You know, what's the best blanket? What doesn't get you too hot? I really like my MyPillow sheets, for example. They're kind of cool, kind of light. Things we can actually use. Leave the racism to Pete Buttigieg working on the highways.
Right.
We got that one covered. Let's go to Ed. You're up next. The other Ed on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Ed?
I am ready.
All right, other Ed. Here's your headline. Air pollution causes chess players to make more mistakes, study finds.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say that's woke.
That is woke.
Wait a second.
Good guess, Ed.
Hold on. Beep, beep, beep. Back it up. I got to hear that one again.
Air pollution causes chess players to make more mistakes, a study finds.
Okay, hold on.
These are experts using computer models to analyze the quality of games played.
No, hold on. I'm adding this to the list. Here are things we don't need any more of, okay? We don't need any more think tanks. We don't need any more conferences. We don't need any more open letters. And we do not need any more studies. What kind of study is this? These are so specific. Now chess players are blaming air pollution for why they stink?
Well, no, chess players are not blaming that. This paper, which was published in Journal Management Science, studied the performance of 121 chess players in Germany in 2017, 2018, and 2019, more than 30,000 chess moves, and they used computer models to analyze the quality of games played and found that with a modest increase in fine particulate matter, the probability that chess players would make an error increased by 2.1 percentage points. And the magnitude of those errors increased by 10.8%.
If the air was
polluted, if there were particulates matter in the air.
But you know what I think about that? I think the same thing about sports. Like when I watch football, you know how people will say, oh, wow, it's snowing. It's really coming down. Sometimes one team does have an advantage if they're, for example, the Patriots, and they play in snow a lot. But either way, both teams are playing in the atmosphere that they're in. So it kind of makes everything equal. Like both chess players are in this air at the same time. So even if it does increase their mistakes, it's increasing both their mistakes.
Yeah, it kind of levels the playing field.
You're giving me a look like I'm thinking too much into this.
A little bit, yeah. But I mean, hey.
Well, Jared, it's probably millions of dollars of taxpayer.
God, you know, millions. We're probably in the billions. They studied 3 years of chess tournaments.
Yeah, so I'd like to know more about where my money's going. Let's go to Mark. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark. Are you ready for your headline, Mark?
I am, Grace.
All righty, here we go.
All right, Mark, here is your headline. Brady's retirement timing takes spotlight off first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks.
That's woke.
I'm sorry, that's a joke.
That's a really good one.
At least for our purposes.
Did Emma write that?
Emma did write that one.
Emma, that is an excellent headline, and I will not be surprised if it actually is in the newspaper tomorrow.
Woker joke is in the prediction business.
Really, what we should be saying is he took the spotlight away from Ozzy Osbourne. And yes. Ozzy hasn't retired more than once. So I think that if we're weighing them here, Ozzy should get precedent over Tom Brady.
Fair point.
He's on his second retirement.
He is.
Some of us are still trying to do it one time, not twice. Okay.
I love you, Tom.
We all do. We all do, except for Taylor. Taylor doesn't like Tom.
He's a contrarian.
Yeah, very true. Let's go to Jeremy. You're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Jeremy?
Yes.
All right, Jeremy, here's your headline. Gay glass ceiling. Why more feminine men get passed over for leadership roles?
Woke.
That is woke. Congratulations, Jeremy. On Grace's face.
Well,
right
I just don't think that's true. I think right now, especially in companies, you know, in the private sector and in the public sector, both, everyone's looking, and I don't have an issue with this, everybody's looking to have diverse hires. Everybody's looking. I mean, most of the time when you hear about people, for example, in the Biden administration, no one is talking about anybody's qualifications or anybody's skill set. Everybody's talking about what boxes they check. So I just don't think it's true. I want to say that I challenge that headline.
This was a study, shocker, conducted by the University of Sydney in Australia that gay and heterosexual men prefer masculine presenting men in leadership positions over those deemed more feminine. And the study also suggested that gay men themselves are complicit in penalizing feminine-presenting members of their own community. The lead author in that article is Ben Gerard.
Direct your mail towards him. These studies, I'm really skeptical of these studies. I just don't know. All right, we got one more person to get to here. Nick, you are up next. Are you ready for your headline, Nick?
Yeah, love you here in communist California.
Oh, my gosh, oh. Cali, very good.
I used to live in California for 13 years, Los Angeles.
here's your headline.
All right, Nick, here's your headline. My baby cried at our black doctor, and I'm afraid she's racist.
Oh, that's borderline. I'm going to have to go joke.
That is a joke. Good call, Nick.
That sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. All right, Jared Diglio, thank you very much.
Excellent job
taking over today for Woke or Joke. Matt, very good job on the board. Emma, excellent job on the headlines. We will be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk Pfizer coming up next. Martha Stewart is the new face of Pfizer. And I had kind of forgotten that she had spent some time in the clink, but the texters reminded me of that. So thank you very much. We will discuss it when we return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Happy Groundhog Day. If you want to vote in our poll, go to GraceCurleyShow.com. Now people are replying to me on Twitter about the groundhog, and they're like, this tradition has gone on too long. We need to end this. I wouldn't go that far. I don't want the groundhogs to be out of a job. You know, I don't, this is their, literally, this is the one day of the year where people care about the groundhogs, and we're going to take that away from them? That seems like an overreaction. I will say, I think they need to sharpen their prediction skills because 40% is not acceptable. 40% over 10 years of getting things right, that is not Karnak the Magnificent. That's bogus.
Can we just get a new animal then? Because there's got to be a better animal at predicting this stuff.
Oh, but yeah, but how would you know? I guess you could do a bunny rabbit or something if they go back into their little hole or wherever
I'm just throwing out ideas. Dude, someone else can figure it out. But groundhogs, who does care about groundhogs anyways? Like, this is the one time anyone ever mentions groundhogs.
All right. What are you, a Bill de Blasio plant? What are you doing here?
I'm very anti-groundhog.
You're very anti-groundhog. And I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I like this hate speech. Hey, so Matt, I'm glad you're on the mic here because you said that this Pfizer commercial with Martha Stewart is worth playing. We got some sound from it. Should we save it and play it on the other side?
It.
All right, Martha Stewart is trying to push the booster on you so you can become a booster person like her. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about Rashida Tlaib's tantrum on the House floor when we come back.